Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and this is the second part of a show on why should children have pets. In our previous show, we talked about that they learn responsibilities, and they learn to be empathetic, and they learn about unconditional love. We cited the quote out of Steps of Christ where she says, tenderest earthly ties that God speaks to us. And on a child's level, I really think pets are important. But that being said, I thought maybe we should add some research or credibility to our theory here. So, Dr. Tooley, do you have anything of, you know, academic importance, I guess?
Yeah, there are at least six ways that pets benefit children especially. And I think they can benefit adults in a lot the same way. And one of the first things pets do is actually help children to be calmer. One of the research studies shows that they reduce the stress hormone cortisol, and that's from Dr. Trachtenberg, that cortisol is a stress hormone. So it interacting with pets and actually interacting with other loved ones helps to reduce that cortisol hormone, but also helps to release the hormone of oxytocin. So that helps build up our feelings of, you know, generosity and empathy. It helps develop those things. And this comes from Psychology Today. So there is enough indication that having a pet will reduce the stress, but also for children who tend to be anxious, high levels of anxiety, having a pet like a dog actually may help reduce some of those types of anxiety that kids may experience and people in the house. So that's one of the benefits of having it, is it just helps the child be a little more calm and actually can help parents to be calmer too when they're not cleaning up after it.
I knew you were going to add that.
I had to add that, but I mean, you know, you might be willing to clean up a little bit more if you understand the benefits to your child, especially. So that's one of the first things, you know. Having children who are well-centered is a good thing. But they go on, they say that pets have, they help children enhance their social skills. And I think we've, you know, we can touch on that, but having pets cause the children to have to interact, and they do interact with the pets. And the pets are easy ones to interact with because pets forgive easy. So with pets, the kids have to do the interaction, and the children, one of the things that should always happen is when the child, particularly based on the child's age, the child should have a responsibility for taking care of the pet, whatever they can at whatever age they are. When they're too young, of course, there's nothing they can do. But starting at a young age, they should be responsible for interacting with that pet in some way or another. And the older they get, the more they should have to interact with that pet.
I think of all the pets I had in Africa, always, you know, I got permission to have them. And always my parents said, you're going to be responsible. At some point, they stopped saying that because I did show responsibility. I think my first exotic pet was a little Duiker deer. I think it's spelled D-U-I-K-E-R. And it was a little miniature deer type animal. And I named him Randy. And then not too long after that, we added a monkey called Peanuts. And that monkey was so adorable. Was it a little Reese's monkey? Do you remember what kind of monkey it was? It was so cute.
I think
cute.
It was a Reese's monkey.
It was so cute. And we had a little place to keep it and everything, but it disappeared. And lo and behold, the monkey was actually trained to be sold to expatriates and then would run back to its owner and be resold again. So we didn't get to keep that monkey long, but it was really cute. And so I can say, you know, I had a pet monkey growing up. We were heartbroken that we couldn't keep the monkey. So then Dad went out and bought a baboon. And then he bought another baboon to keep that baboon company. Do you remember those baboons?
Yeah, we ended up with two other monkeys. We ended up with a putty nose monkey and a spider monkey that some missionary family were leaving, and they dropped those monkeys off with us too. And then it had that baboon. The baboon was a baby baboon.
Well, we had a bigger baboon for a little while, but I don't know what happened to that bigger baboon. But the bigger baboon really did not like men. And so anytime any man would go in or near that cage, he would be so aggressive. So they probably
had to get... baboons probably are not the best pets.
No, and then you know? And then we had quite a chain of civet cats, and they did not last long. So I learned some very hard lessons there. I couldn't figure out what formula to feed them, and they were allergic to the milk, and they would get, you know, dysentery, and I'd have lots of messes to clean up. And I went through a lot of them. They brought me a lot of those. They kind of look like a raccoon.
Yes. And we would get those baboons, get those civet cats. And the last one that we had was really doing well. We had finally figured it out, and that one was really doing well. And then another dog that we had there that was a neighbor's dog, really sick. And that civet cat came by, and that dog snapped at it and broke the civet cat's back.
Yes.
So, but otherwise it was doing really good. But the next pet
I had, though, I have to say, was the squirrel. I had that pet squirrel, and
yes.
I really enjoyed that pet squirrel. I did keep him outside, and it got kind of cold a couple of nights. It was very cold for Africa, and he got a cold and died. He got, you know, all wheezy, and he was just too young to be not in a warm place, so I was sad about that.
So pets actually help children also to learn how to cope with grief, because things do happen. But there's another study here about pets and autistic children, or children who have something in the autism spectrum, along the autism spectrum. And in this study, they took a couple of guinea pigs, which we had as pets too, and they put them in the classroom, in one of the classrooms where they had these autistic children. And what they discovered is that in the room where these guinea pigs were kept, those children displayed more pro-social behaviors, you know, like smiling and laughing, than the other room that only contained toys as opposed to animals. So pets do, you know, they use pets now as therapy animals for all kinds of things. They've discovered this, that they are good therapy animals. But pets are really good for these kinds of things where people have maybe some social disorder. A pet can oftentimes help that person with those kinds of problems.
Well, you know, I've even been accused of being a little autistic. And so just think where I would be if I hadn't had all those pets.
Yeah, maybe you need another pet.
I do. Now, talking about classroom pets, I have two turtles. And they are very social turtles. They love to run around the classroom. They are red-eared sliders, so I keep them in, you know, a tank that has water and a place where they can get up and get under the sun lamp and stuff. And then during the school year, the kids take them out and let them run all over the grass, and if there's any mud puddles, they let them run in the mud puddles, and they even make ponds for them in a low-lying area of the schoolyard so that the turtles can swim out in nature. But of course, you know, now it's summertime, and I have to worry about these turtles. And so I'm going back to school during the summer when I normally have off because I'm worried about the turtles. And that is the downside of having a pet, is you have all this responsibility.
But bringing that up, that's one of the benefits of it, is pets teach responsibility to young people.
Yeah, well, I'm not young, and I'm the person now that's responsible. But I do have, the church members have been gracious enough to, I have a number of them now that are coming in to help with the summer responsibility, because I'm going to go on vacation, so they're feeding them the mealy worms and the pellets, and you know, I thought it'd be smart and put fish in there that the turtles could eat whenever they got hungry, but they won't touch these fish. The fish just eat the turtle food. They swim freely around. I've had them now for quite a few months. So, you know.
So you got to go up there and make sure you take care of your turtles.
So tell me about your most exotic pet, and then I'll tell you about my most exotic pet.
Well, I can tell you one of the last exotic pets I had. I had all of those snakes, which I ended up giving to the university there. But my daughter inherited the tendency to bring home strays also. And one day we come home, and there she has in a cage a Patagonian conure.
Wow.
That was the most noisy bird that I had ever heard.
So what happened to that bird?
We found a good home for it. Quickly. It didn't just sit and make noise. It loved it when you were in the room. So you would be in the room with it. But as soon as you walked by it to leave, it would let out this blood-curdling scream that drained your adrenaline gland. So it had a need to find someone who was less jumpy than we were.
I'm going to tell you about my most exotic animal, and I bet you'll agree with me. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, who's with us all the way from Taiwan, and we're talking about how important it is to have pets, in the classroom, to have pets in our home. And as every family knows, some things work out better than others. And I promised you that I'd tell you about my most exotic pet. I believe that my most exotic pet is now on the extinct list, or those animals that are headed for extinction. It was, I believe, called a pangolin, but I called it a scaly anteater. And when that pet was brought to me in a plastic bag, I could not figure out what it was, because it was all curled up like a big, huge, roly. What are those bugs called? Those pill bugs, those roly bugs that kind of roll into a ball. This animal had rolled into a ball and was nothing but hard scales. And of course, I felt sorry for any little creature that was brought to me in a bag. And I bought it for a couple of shillings. And when I took it out of the bag and took it into the house, it unfolded itself, and it was not unlike a porcupine in, you know, kind of in its shape, and kind of like an armadillo, and it had scales all along the back and even down the tail. Well, he became quite domesticated. Loved everything. I mean, I would just take it around to an anthill, and it would just stick this long pink string-like tongue down the anthill, and it would come up with thousands of little ants on it, and then he would eat that, and then I would just take him to another ant hill, and that's how I fed him. I just took him to all the ant hills all over the place, and at night then he'd just curl up in a little ball and sleep. Well, one day we were sitting there. The family often liked to gather around in the evening or, you know, prior to supper or just after supper and watch the Jeanettes and the cats and Fritz all play. And this ant eater, we heard it had these kind of big claws, and we heard scrape, scrape, scrape. And we knew he was coming. And we could hear that scrape on the cement floor. And, you know, we all would have kind of liked him to come to us, but no, he headed straight for Dad. And when he got to Dad, he didn't stop. He actually used his claws to climb up my father's bare leg, and he was not enjoying it at all. But I said, well, help him up, help him up. And when he got up to his knee, or, you know, so he could rest on his knee, he stuck out that long string pink tongue and went all over my dad's leg. And we were just mesmerized by it. But we came to the belief that he liked the salt. You know, we're always hot and sweaty in Africa. He liked the salt. So that pet I had until we left Africa, and I was sad to say goodbye to Scaly. I mean, I know it's not an original name, but I took him back out in the jungle and let him go, and I do hope that, you know, he had a long life, though I don't hold up any unrealistic hopes, but I hope that, you know, God in his mercy protected that little anteater out in the jungles of Africa.
Yeah, he would be back in his natural habitat, so he would probably have a good chance of surviving if he wasn't captured. But pets do something else for us. Pets reduce our minds from being unable to focus. Pets help us focus and actually help us to live more in the moment than to always, you know, take away worry, and they reduce stress. You know, you'll see this with people with dogs or cats or something like that. The cat will land in your lap, or the dog will sit there beside you, and you just see people mindlessly stroking their head or petting them. And they do this repetitive thing over and over and over and over and over, and they'll sit there. And it does help people relax more and be able to live more in the moment and actually get pleasure out of small things. So having pets does a good thing when it comes to that. But it also, one of the most important things is it increases a child's emotional intelligence.
Yeah, that's so huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's children who own pets, a study from that they have conducted shows that children who own pets tend to be more compassionate and empathetic than children who don't. Having pets is good in building this emotional intelligence in children. And I think starting at a young age, you know, I think part of it, they don't know exactly why, but it seems like it just has to do with some type of interaction and the responsibility that goes with having a pet.
So, Dr. Tooley, what pets do you have now?
Oh, I have some good pets now. Well,
tell us about your pets.
I have three Bengal cats.
Okay, so what is a Bengal cat?
A Bengal cat is a cross between a domesticated cat and a Taiwanese mountain cat or an Asian mountain cat. And it has the markings of a leopard.
Cool.
And it is a very busy type of cat and very much interested in interaction with humans.
So how do you keep it from getting, how do you keep all three of them? I guess if you have more than one, then they can help entertain each other when you're not there.
Yeah, they do. And I also have, just to mix it all up, I have a dachshund. But it's not an ordinary dachshund. It's a It's what's called a royal blonde dachshund.
Mm.
So it looks like a dachshund and a golden retriever's hair set.
So do the cats and the dog get along?
Yes, all of the animals get along wonderfully with each other. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting to watch them because of the unique coloration and patterns on the cats. Everybody is struck by them. And they also get to be rather large. They're not huge cats. They're not the biggest cats, but they're large. They can easily weigh up to 30 pounds. They're a big cat.
So do you have names for these three cats?
Yes, I have names. I have Mo, who is the baby cat, Duchess, who is the mommy cat of Mo, and Jack, who is not the daddy cat of Mo, but wants to be.
And then what's the name of your dog?
The dog is named Ollie. I originally had another Bengal that ended up getting killed by a dog.
Mm.
And that one was called Dodger. And so we got that cat and the dachshund at the same time. And so we had Oliver Twist and the Artful Dodger. And then we discovered that Oliver was a girl. So now it became Ollie.
Well, thank you for sharing with us about your pets. I think it goes to the great phenomena that in the United States, we're spending more on our pets than any other thing. You know, we're buying special food. In fact, our pets often eat better than we do if you look at it from the standard American diet. And our pets have clothes, and they have carrying cases, and they have toys, and we just really are attached to our pets. And it's not just in the United States. Other countries have pets too.
Well, they do here. And just real quickly, one of the most unique things I have seen, everybody drives scooters around here, and they take their pets on their scooters. And I have seen cats with goggles riding on the shoulders of people driving their scooters. Dogs, big dogs like Newfies, riding in between the scooters with their tail hanging out one side and their head hanging out the other. And birds riding on people's shoulders as they drive down the roads on their scooters. Here, they do have a lot of pets, and they like to keep their pets well cared for, just like we do.
You know, I know we're coming to the end of the show, and I just like to remind our listeners that the Apostle Paul says all creation waits eagerly for the second coming of the Lord. All creation.
That's true.
And if he included that, then we certainly have to acknowledge that God speaks and loves us through all his creation. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.